Welcome to the True Crime Cafe. I'm Angie.
I'm Becky, and you won't believe the case I have for you today.
What do you got today, Becky?
I have a case that I am calling the Millionaire Murder.
Ooh.
Yes, from this case, it was important for me to find something close to home. And the one I found, I had to deep dive to get information about this because there wasn't a lot when I first started looking. And then once I knew what search terms to look for, I kept uncovering more and more. The victim's name is Francesca Brown. Mm-hmm. And in all the articles I read, a lot of them explained how baffled people who knew the couple were because her killer did not seem like, quote unquote, the kind of guy who would kill someone.
I mean, but most murderers don't.
Right. But then when you go back and look, you know, hindsight's 20/20. When I was reading about it, I was like, he was totally the kind of guy who would kill someone. First, let me tell you about Francesca. She graduated as valedictorian of her class at Myrtle Beach High School.
Nice.
Her classmates said she was very straight-laced, and one went as far as calling her an ideal person in the community and said if he had a daughter, he would want her to be like Francesca, which that's quite a compliment. She got a medical degree at Duke University. She served in the Air Force for 9 years where she practiced pediatrics, and she had a really strong interest in helping underprivileged kids and fighting childhood obesity. She worked as a pediatrician in the Brunswick County, North Carolina Health Department by day, and at night she made house calls to Myrtle Beach hotels to tend sick children in need of care.
Wow.
She truly believed that public health was the best way to tend underserved children in the community, and she felt strongly about serving the communities in and around her hometown. But she didn't limit it to the Carolinas. In 2010, after the earthquake in Haiti, she went there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Her most recent job was caring for children at Community Health Partners in Conway, South Carolina, which, you know, is not far from my house.
Yeah.
She was only 39 when she was murdered.
Oh, she was young. She did all of that at a very young age.
Mm-hmm. So that was only, what, like 21 years after graduating high school? She graduated at 18. So in like 2 decades, she did all that.
Wow.
Those who knew her said she changed the department in more ways than any other doctor has in the past. She revamped their pediatric program. She added services for the underprivileged, and she was the recipient of a county award recognizing her passion and love for the medical profession and her patients. Fred Michael, the health department's assistant director at Community Health Partners, told the Post and Courier that Francesca was very interested in trying to work with children who may have been neglected and had fallen through the cracks. He said she was just excellent at relating to their needs, and she was very dedicated. Now, people here in Myrtle Beach, and they think family, seaside, environment, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of homelessness.
Oh, like, yeah.
I didn't even realize how much until we moved to the area. And the first 6 weeks we were here, we were in Airbnb 2 blocks from the ocean in Myrtle Beach. And there was like a murder every week. And just every time we walked on the boardwalk, there were homeless. And this is like in late October.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're, you know, it's not just old people homeless out there. It's whole families.
Oh, yeah.
Teenagers, kids.
It's very sad.
It is. KCTV reported that at-risk preteens combating obesity and getting kids immunized were priorities for Francesca. And she was quoted as saying that working with kids was something she had always wanted to do. It was her lifelong dream. One of her coworkers in South Carolina was quoted as saying she had tons of kids. She had touched so many children here that it's just such a loss of life. And when I looked her up online, you know how you can go on, you can review your doctor on different medical sites. Mm-hmm. She only had 5-star reviews. And that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody likes to complain about going to the doctor.
Well, it's not even about going to the doctor, but as a general rule, not a doctor is not going to be a great fit for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you expect to see some lower rated reviews.
Mm-hmm. Jenna Cheek, who worked with Francesca at the Brunswick County Health Department, became good friends with her and even invited her to her wedding. In every interview, Jenna couldn't say enough good things about Francesca. The two women stayed in touch after Francesca moved on to a different job. They texted regularly. Jenna said she was easy to love. She talked to people on their level. She just never made anyone feel bad about who they were or where they were coming from. So I'm not sure if it was seeing Jenna get married that prompted this or what her reasoning was, but Francesca, who was super busy with her job and then going out at night and helping kids, she decided to join a dating website to find her own happily ever after.
Wow.
And the one she signed up for was millionairematch.com.
Okay. So,
I know there are different ones, like Plenty of Fish.
And they're like Cupid or something like
that. Yeah. Okay, Cupid, something. There's like, there are ones for everyone. There's like Christian Singles. There's one for people looking for farmers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she, but whatever the reason, she decided on millionairematch.com. And that's where she met John Meredith Hodges. Now, according to the Kansas City Star, Hodges professed devotion, called her princess in emails, and portrayed himself as an international businessman and former Army Ranger. On September 2nd, Francesca mentioned to Jenna that she was going to a medical conference in Kansas. She did not mention that she had invited John to join her there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, big red flag. Some sources claim she had an on-again, off-again relationship for him with about a year, but I also read while researching that she only met him in person one other time. So if he's an international businessman, that kind of makes sense that they, if he's traveling, if she's busy.
I mean, it does, but if he's truly an international businessman, you can Google him.
Mm-hmm.
And at least find something.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe she Googled him.
I have no idea. Yeah. The following day, Francesca attended a meet and greet session for the conference at Hawthorne Suites, a hotel not far from the city's regional medical center. She showed up in the company of a man who was John Hodges, and this was the last day anyone saw her alive.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No. I mean, I knew it was going to include her. I just was hoping it wasn't her.
Yeah. On September 8th, when she did not return home, her mother reported her missing. The Overland Park Police in Kansas said they checked the hotel, but no one had seen her since September 3rd at the reception. A few days later, on September 12th, detectives discovered Francesca's body in the woods near the hotel, and they immediately put out a warrant for John Hodges. So back in South Carolina, Francesca's friends were clueless when the authorities asked them about her boyfriend. She had always been super private about her love life, and nobody at the funeral had any idea who he was. When they asked John's ex-wife, she had never heard of Francesca. So,
was John really John, or was John just using that name?
He was really John.
Okay. Because you know how, like, some people, they'll quote unquote steal somebody's identity and introduce themselves as that person versus who they really are.
Yep. I have seen plenty of episodes of like Dateline and different things where people catfish somebody, and we will probably have some episodes regarding this. I was thinking maybe he had a reason to keep it a secret as I was researching this.
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, my thing is if you're on a dating site, especially, I mean, like, somebody in your life has to know that you're on this dating site.
Right.
Right? I mean,
so the person who did not know was his wife.
Yep. Yeah, that would be why.
Your expression says it all.
That would be why he didn't want anybody to know that.
I'm not sure if Francesca knew he was married or not.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he was married. And also, even though she met him on millionairematch.com, he was not a millionaire. He's $1 million in debt. Yeah, it gets worse.
Okay, so like this dating app doesn't verify income. I mean,
apparently not. Like, so Francesca was not naive. It was just a combination of a misleading dating site and a horrible person.
Yeah, no, you know? I'm not blaming her at all. Like,
yeah. So
was he legit $1 million in debt?
Oh, yeah, he's way in debt.
Wow.
So according to an article in the Kansas City Star, either way, John's stories of being a wheeler dealer with business interests in South America made him the perfect fit for the dating website that boasted that its members were CEOs, pro athletes, doctors, lawyers, investors, entrepreneurs, beauty queens, fitness models, and Hollywood celebrities. But MillionaireMatch.com also claims that anyone who earns $150,000 and above annually qualifies as a millionaire.
Well, $150,000 is not a millionaire.
Right?
Right?
That would be like me earning six figures over several years' time and call myself a six-figure author.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Like, whether it's millionairematch.com or being an author or...
It's misleading. It's just misleading.
Or being an actor or whatever. Yeah. It's misleading if you're taking the sum of multiple years and saying that, hey, this is what I am. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Or like if your local library gives you an award for being an author and you say, I'm an award-winning author. That's award-winning.
It's typically not a lie, but
no,
it's not.
It is misleading.
It's, yeah, It's very misleading. So yeah, no, like I said, that to me, in order to be able to call yourself a millionaire or a six-figure author or anything really, like it has to be in a calendar year or in a 12-month period, not over the course of many years. So, well, here's my question. So they said anybody who makes $150,000 annually, correct? Do they have to make $150,000 annually every year, or just that first year and then they're
there? I did not dive that deep into it.
Oh, sorry.
As soon as I saw that it was like only $150,000, I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. That's not a millionaire.
No.
The IRS doesn't even count them as a millionaire at that point.
No.
They don't even tax them like millionaires. So John started out as a woodlands salesperson in the timber industry. He's the father of four kids by various women. No judgment there.
Nope.
He had his own business, but that went belly up in the mid-2000s. And when he did, again, no judgment. Businesses fail for whatever reason. When he declared bankruptcy in 2005, he had $1.5 million in debt and less than $375,000 to pay it off.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And at this point, he has no criminal record that we know of.
Okay.
Other than, you know, being bad at business, but that's not a like criminal crime.
Yeah.
According to the Post and Courier, John had a new wife, four kids, a timber business, and a comfortable life that allowed him to jet to South America to visit friends and vacation. Now, Fox 4 in Kansas City said that John worked in the timber industry in South America, which would make sense for him to travel back and forth.
Well, yeah.
You know, and quote unquote, international businessman.
Yeah.
At some point after his bankruptcy, he moved to South Carolina and he lived in some waterfront apartments in a gated complex off Leeds Avenue in North Charleston.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Now you're coming over to my side of the state. I know where it is. Yep.
So according to the Kansas City Star, Johnson County prosecutors did not describe him as an international businessman.
Okay. I mean, yeah. To me, using that term, every time you say that, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, using that term loosely.
Exactly. They described him as a liar, a prescription drug addict, and a swindler. So
that doesn't sound so far-fetched.
No. He went to Kansas for what Francesco thought would be a romantic week away. During his trial, his ex-wife took the stand and said that he told her he was coming to the United States to make some sales, and she had no idea that he was in a relationship with Francesco. Prosecutors said the only reason he went to Kansas was to kill Francesco. After he murdered her, he wrapped her body in a tarp and he put her in the patch of woods where she was found. Yes. Afterward, he fled to Colombia, but first he sent his ex-wife and daughter more than $10,000 from Francesca's bank account. At a September 17th press conference, the FBI and Drug Enforcement Administration helped secure a federal fugitive warrant for John. And Colombia authorities took him into custody. They did not immediately make the crime public because he had fled the country. And they wanted to, I guess, get him before. So on September 20th, he faced numerous charges, including first-degree murder, identity theft, and credit card theft. And that first morning in court, he spent the entire time with his head in his hands and he would not look up at anybody. And even though he pleaded not guilty, he remained locked up in the Johnson County, Kansas jail on a charge of first-degree murder on a $25 million bond because he was considered a flight risk. I think it's kind of ironic that the guy on MillionaireMatch.com who was not a millionaire and who was in debt for over $1 million is now on a $25 million bond.
That's crazy. How could he afford that bond?
Right. During their investigation, police found evidence that John had searched for information about how to kill someone by strangulation. He also searched for articles about how to get rid of a body, how to mask the odor of human decay, and how long it takes to choke someone to death.
Oh,
but he planned this whole thing.
Obviously.
And that we know of, this is his first crime.
That we know of.
Yeah, that I mean, we know of.
Most people don't wake up one day and go from Biden citizen to I'm going to murder somebody. Nope. So my guess is there's definitely some crimes. From what you've said about them, though, they seem to be more white collar crimes than like physical crimes.
Yeah.
That's just crazy, though.
So he was also charged with 8 counts of identity theft, 1 charge of computer crime, and 2 counts of credit card fraud. Authorities told the Kansas City Star that those charges were related to the use of Francesca's identity and like accessing her bank account, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So the reason he sent the money to his ex-wife was for back child support. So we're going to jump ahead to October 14th.
Okay.
And John's wife insisted that she still loved him and he was a great man who seemed incapable of such a crime. And his family was just at a loss. They had no way to explain those disturbing events. His wife said, "He is not a violent person. We feel horrible for the family of Dr. Brown, but I don't know what happened. No one does. If my husband was accused of killing someone and they had evidence that he did it, I'm not sure I'd be the kind of stand by your man woman."
Nope. I love my husband and yeah. I would take a bullet for him. I would do pretty much anything for him. But if I knew that he had committed a crime, like a serious crime,
mm-hmm.
I love you, but that's crazy.
Yeah. So on May 7th, 2013, John Meredith Hodges was found unresponsive in his jail cell. Efforts to resuscitate him failed, and the death was being investigated as a suicide, but they released no other details.
What a bunch of crap.
Right?
Wow.
So the victims include his girlfriend, Francesca Brown. His wife was kind of a victim, even if she did not want to admit it. His ex-wife and children, because the money he sent them was not his to give away. And then everybody who loved Francesca, because now they got to go through life without her, which sucks.
Yeah, especially since she was so involved in making her community a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Stay caffeinated.
And join us next time for another cup of crime.